He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, July the 28th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. We've got a split decision right now on the market. The tech investors, the NASDAQ, is saying bullish. The NASDAQ is up 70 points right now after a slew of earnings coming in last night from the likes of Apple, AMD, Microsoft, Google. I thought they were all pretty good. And it looks like the NASDAQ investors thought so, too. Up 72 points right now, 0.5%, 14,733. The Dow, on the other hand, is down 61, 34,992, just 8 points away from 35,000. It continues to fight and punch and kick and scream, trying to get through that 25,000 level and stay there and begin a new uptrend. But not happening yet. It continues to struggle. S&P kind of splitting the difference. That's about flat. It's down 3 points. 43.98 after hitting a new all-time high on Monday. Russell 2000 having a real good day. Look at that. The small cap's up 1% today. Good value there. Not a lot of momentum, however. Crude oil up 25 cents to 71.90. Staying above 70. That's bullish. Gold's down 5, can't move too far from 1,800, it's at 1,794. Silver's up 12 cents to 24.77. A little bounce higher in interest rates today as we await the Fed. It is a Fed Wednesday. The 10-year's at 1.26% today. And Bitcoin's having a good day. How about that? Bitcoin is up 1,588 to 39. 1,573. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. We had a really bad day in the market yesterday, okay? I think it was a lot of the spillover of the Chinese stocks. You know, we do a lot of business in China. There's a lot of supply chain in China. Just ask Tim Cook at Apple or some of these other Qualcomm CEO, etc. And I saw the semiconductor sector really weak yesterday, and the Chinese stocks are just getting pummeled. Now, they're bouncing back a little bit today, but I think part of that 180-point sell-off in the NASDAQ yesterday probably related to China. And worries over, you know, the supply chain, our sales over there to China. Elon Musk sells a lot of Teslas in China. A lot of companies do a lot of business in China. China continues to crack down. It seems like they're cracking down on capitalism. That's just from my perspective. But they are doing it in the name of regulations. And they're just killing their own market. They're just absolutely crushing their own market. And you're seeing professional investors and institutional investors just flee, running for cover. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Now, the market may be on a bit of a hold today. We always wait to see what Jay Powell has to say. About the future of interest rates, the future of quantitative easing of purchases by the Fed. Wall Street still sees a patient Jay Powell. Well, I would expect that. Taper pressures continue to rise. That's probably what the market's worried about most. Other FOMC members are sounding more hawkish than Jay Powell. His dovish comments will carry the most weight, obviously. But the other FOMC members are starting to pressure Jay Powell to do something, to do a little bit of tapering, or keeping interest rates low, promising to keep interest rates low. That's what Jay Powell wants to do. But the other members getting a little bit nervous because it does seem like inflation is sticking. I saw that in a report yesterday. I'm trying to think who it was. A company, maybe it was McDonald's. No, it was another one that reported and said, you know, we're having a lot of the cost of supplies have gone up considerably, and it's cutting into our bottom line. And I think inflation is not as transitory as the Fed would like. But, hey, we'll see today when the Fed announcement comes. And that's kind of got the market on edge a little bit. Mohammed El Arian said yesterday it's almost a certainty that inflation will surpass the Fed's expectations. That's what he expects the Fed to say today about inflation. Well, we've had some bad economic reports coming out recently. Not bad, but not good. Today we have a good one. Consumer confidence in July holds at its highest level since before the pandemic. Well, that's all you have to do is go to one of your local favorite restaurant spots, and you'll see that the consumers seem to be have plenty of confidence as they order up appetizers and specialty drinks and everything else, you know. It's pretty hard to get into some of the more popular restaurants, at least here in Charleston and Mount Pleasant area. Consumer confidence, highest level since before the pandemic. All right. Well, that's good, okay? The consumer drives the economy, let's not forget. 80% of the economy, something like that, driven by the consumer. Okay, that China issue. These following Chinese internet ETFs have plummeted now to a 14-month low in just 4 days. KWEB, KWEB, which is a Chinese internet ETF, it has dropped like a rock. One of its biggest holdings is TCHY and Alibaba and JD.com. You know, these were all really popular stocks, and they're good stocks, but China, with its crackdown, has really clobbered its own stocks in China. Cathie Wood clears nearly all Chinese stocks from the ARK portfolios. Well, she's a little late. You know, I can say she was down 4.2% at one time yesterday. I don't know where she ended up, but she obviously still has too much exposure. But it says she has dumped all of her positions in China-based JD.com, Tencent Holdings, and all but a small stake in KE Holdings, which is BEKE. Wood has been shedding her China positions over the past 2 weeks, as she recently revealed in ARK's monthly webinar for investors. She says, from a valuation point of view, these stocks have come down, and again, from a valuation point of view, and they'll probably remain down, but this continued crackdown by Beijing on U.S.-listed Chinese stocks has helped pull down ARK's price by 10.9% since July the 1st. Ouch. That's just 4 weeks. She's down 10.9%, and much of that's because of her Chinese holdings. Yesterday I reported that SoftBank, SFTBY, is getting crushed. And I don't know what they're doing with their Chinese holdings right now, but seeing a lot of professional money managers. Yesterday, the former CEO of Cisco said that I just wouldn't invest in China right now, and I wouldn't invest in Chinese startups either. So a lot of investors. Kyle Bass today said it's almost unconscionable to be investing in China right now for American money managers or mutual fund managers or institutional managers to be investing in China. Big problem, and it is spilling over to the U.S. market in a couple of ways. The companies that do business there, the companies that have supply chains there, and the worry that the U.S. may follow with the crackdown of its own on some of these supposedly ungovernable stocks like Facebook and Google and others, Amazon, which have become too big to handle, I suppose, and a little bit unwieldy right now, and wielding quite a bit of power. Now, when we come back, Elizabeth Warren speaks out on cryptocurrency. Is she bullish? Is she bearish? And then after that, we got a whole bunch of individual stocks to talk about the rest of the show. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. The NASDAQ has definitely improved here since we started the show. It's now up 118. Of course, it lost 180 yesterday, but it's good to see it get a big chunk of that back today. And the Dow is continuing to be underwater for now, fighting 35,000. It's down 102 right now. Well, Elizabeth Warren weighs in on what she thinks of cryptocurrency. Of course, Democrat, Massachusetts senator, former presidential candidate, she compares the current cryptocurrency market to snake oil. Snake oil salesmen in the days before the government began regulating drugs. Well, I think it's safe to say that Elizabeth Warren would like to see heavier regulation on the cryptocurrencies. In an interview with CNBC on Wednesday, Warren also repeated her call for a wealth tax, saying a small tax on wealth above $50 million would pay for programs like universal child care and infrastructure spending. On cryptocurrency, Warren stopped short of including Bitcoin in the category of a snake oil product, but she argued that an unregulated market provided cover for bad actors. As a result, she called for an enhanced regulatory regime around crypto, saying she didn't want to wait until a whole lot of people had been completely wiped out. Well, I think a whole lot of people have already been wiped out here and there by the Bitcoin. But anyways, that is Elizabeth Warren. Let's count her as a bear, all right, on the cryptos. Now, I'm seeing a few patterns emerge here in the market today. The medical sector is really doing well here so far today. You know, I think the market's kind of likes the kind of reliable earnings of the companies like Edwards Life Sciences and Dexcom and Danaher and Charles River Labs and Bio-Rad, et cetera. Seeing those stocks hitting new highs today. I'm also seeing a little bit of movement here. Big tech is kind of starting to turn around a little bit to the upside. The big sector today, winning sector today right now, is the medical sector. All right, well, this week we have 180 by the end of the week. By the time I send out my newsletter Saturday morning, we'll have had 180 companies from the S&P 500 report earnings, and we'll have 10 from the Dow that will have reported earnings. Now, as a guy who continues to say, and I stand by it, that there's nothing more important in the market than earnings, future earnings expectations, revisions upwards to earnings, revisions downwards to earnings, just like property is location, 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 real estate. The market is earnings, earnings, earnings. To me, and my observations of 21 years as a money manager and former analyst that used to write up research reports, at the end of the day, companies trade at a multiple of their earnings. And until they have earnings, they trade at a multiple of their sales. But there is nothing sweeter to a growth investor than consistent and extraordinary earnings growth. Those are the kind of companies that we're always looking for. And of course, you know, as companies go through different cycles. You know, at the beginning, it's an idea. And then it might become a startup, and then the venture capital starts to come in, publicly traded company. It's owned, it's held by private hands. It's very risky business. It needs to go public, or it needs to be bought out in order for there to be an event where people can cash in on their private shares. Otherwise, those private shares are just a piece of paper, right? Now, they can trade private shares amongst themselves, but for the most part, they need that company to go public, or to merge, to be bought out. They need an event. Well, then they go public, all right? The companies that I follow are publicly traded companies, and they start out as an IPO. And there's a lot of bad IPOs. I mean a lot of bad IPOs. The SPACs were even a couple of levels below IPOs. They were terrible. And then the IPO either gets some traction, starts to take off, goes nowhere, fizzles out. It's a tough industry, a lot of sectors, a lot of competition. Trying to get a share of the market and to grow that share of the market and to become profitable. And it's the chosen few that become profitable and start really taking off with earnings growth. And then that earnings growth can sizzle. Look at Cisco, you know, back in the early 2000s under Chambers, CEO, how that stock was one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. But eventually, those fast growers can't continue to grow as fast as they used to. They start to slow down. They go from a triple-digit growth to maybe 40 or 50% growth, and then down to 25, and then down to 15. And then usually towards the end of that cycle, they start paying a big fat dividend to keep people around. The IBMs of the world, some of the banks that pay big dividends. The reason being is because they're not growing. The tobacco companies are not growing their earnings anymore. And the only way they can keep people, investors, in their stock is to offer a big dividend yield. But a lot of times, a falling stock price from falling earnings growth will wipe out what you make in the way of a dividend. So I'm trying to buy stocks in the prime of their life, or they're entering into the prime of their life, and some of them can stay there for a long, long time. Well, the Dow stocks tend to be a little bit more mature, okay? And why has the NASDAQ outperformed the Dow over the last many, many years? Because some of the faster-growing stocks are in the NASDAQ. The Dow is made up of much more slower-growing stocks. Although, you know, some of the faster growers have been introduced into the Dow recently, it's still a lot of slow growth, single-digit stocks. And this week we're getting earnings reports from 180 S&P 500 when it's all said and done, and 10 Dow stocks. And what do I do at the end of the week? Well, I update this quarter, how it's going. I do this in the newsletter. I give my own opinion of what I think the market's looking like. This is a great indication of the current economy, these companies' earnings reports. And I also, even more importantly than that, I look out to the future and put my pencil or eraser or whatever, sharpen my pencil to the future expectations, because that's what the Dow, that's what the indexes are looking to. So very important to stay on top of that every single week. That's the macro outlook of the market, and it's in my newsletter every week, GundersonCapital.com. And it's earnings that are in the air today. And this whole second half of the show, we're going to go through yesterday's big earnings reports, and I'm going to give you my take and my current ranking of these stocks. I can't tell you how much that helps me separate the so-called men from the boys, I suppose, or the wheat from the chaff, that ranking number that my app, BestStocksNowApp.com, calculates every day is invaluable to me. It helps me cut through the mediocrity and get to the good stuff. Okay, let's begin with some Dow stocks here, all right? Boeing. Boeing EPS beats by $1.12, beats on revenue. On the surface, that looks like a pretty good report, right? But we got to look underneath the surface. We got to lift the hood on Boeing or whatever. I don't think you have a hood on the front of a Boeing. But anyways, we need to look at the inner workings. Of course, Boeing has had some horrendous troubles over the last few years. In 2020, they lost $23 per share. Of course, they had issues with their 737 and of course, the pandemic hit at the same time. It was just not good. Boeing is currently ranked number 4,245 right now out of about 5,800. Okay, so what would a guy like Gunderson do when he sees a ranking like that? Next. That's exactly what I do. I move on. Now, we're in a busy week in the Major League Baseball season. This is the week where teams are looking to either upgrade for the future or upgrade for the coming playoffs. And there's a chosen few right now, which are buyers looking for players to get ready for the playoffs. They're looking to upgrade their current roster, maybe add a piece here, get rid of a piece there, whatever. I don't see where managing a portfolio is any different, okay? Whether you're managing a dividend portfolio or a large cap conservative growth, or if you're in the aggressive small mid caps, it doesn't matter. We're looking to put the very best players on the field for either that approaching retirement day or to preserve our retirement nest egg and to continue growing it at a reasonable pace. Everybody has a different kind of risk tolerance and a different kind of objective for their portfolios. But me, I see a ranking of 4,245 on Boeing, and just like a baseball prospect or a ranking overall, Sabermetrics, I do Gundermetrics, 4,245. Next. Okay, Pfizer. Pfizer has benefited wildly from the vaccine. And, Pfizer's statistics are showing that people need another jab from now and again to boost their immune system. Why not a monthly? Why not a monthly, Pfizer? But obviously, Pfizer benefits wildly. Pfizer raises 2021 guidance above expectations on strong COVID-19 vaccine sales. The problem is Pfizer hasn't had a lot of new stuff. Had it not been for the vaccine, Pfizer would be ranked a lot lower than it is. Now, having said that, the chart is very good on Pfizer. The stock is reacting well, and you're seeing a breakout on Pfizer today, PFE. But you know what? The market's going to start looking ahead beyond the vaccine. What have you got? Pfizer is currently ranked number 1,426 better than Boeing, much better than Boeing's 4,500. I would consider Pfizer a hold right now. I wouldn't go in with guns blazing putting Pfizer into my portfolio, nor would I sell it if I owned it. See how that works? Okay, McDonald's. McDonald's smashes estimates as a chicken sandwich and their BTS promotion drive U.S. strength. Well, you know, McDonald's is one of the beneficiaries of the pandemic. There was a time there where they were one of the few games in town if you were hungry and you wanted some, you know, restaurant food. With all the restaurants shut down, you might have to resort to McDonald's. I tried their chicken sandwich. I thought it was lousy. I'm just being honest. I mean, we live in the land of Chick-fil-A out here in the southeast. Chick-fil-A's have a line around the block from the time they open till the time they close. McDonald's, you know, the people trickle through. That tells me everything I need to know. One has a better product than the other. McDonald's is currently ranked at number 582 overall. You know, I'm not going to go out. McDonald's is not a, even a double-digit grower anymore. It's a single-digit growth company. So, yeah, you know, it's okay. But I wouldn't sell it, nor would I be a buyer of McDonald's here at this level to looking to upgrade a portfolio. Next is Shopify. Wow. Shopify, I kind of kick myself. I have bruises all over my legs usually from kicking myself for selling stocks too soon. But Shopify is so expensive. How do you justify the valuation? Well, it doesn't seem to matter. The stock just continues to go higher and higher and higher. It's a junior Amazon. And, in fact, at times it was called the next Amazon. Now, here's a stock, Shopify, S-H-O-P, that went public in 2015 at $12 per share. Where's it at today? 2015, $12 per share. Here we are 6 years later. It's $1,558 per share. And the app recognizes that accomplishment. It's been one of my top-ranked stocks in the app for a long, long time. It's currently ranked number 35 out of 5,800. I'm not going to argue with you if you want to buy it at this level. Now, what's the correlation between earnings and stock price appreciation? Well, Shopify, over the last 5 years, their earnings have been growing at a clip of 165% per year. Okay, let's compare that with McDonald's, 5% per year. Shopify, 165% per year. Shopify gets rewarded with one of the highest P.E. ratios, price to sales, price to book value, momentum. It's got it all right now. And Shopify came in, beat by $1.28, beat on revenue. You ought to check out Shopify's website sometime, Shopify.com. It's an online mall. That's what it is. Where's all the business going that used to be, remember a day at the mall or a few hours at the mall? I usually went every Christmas Eve, you know. I race through the mall to get those last-minute presents. But, you know, a day at the mall, you know, many years ago was different. I mean, they had a good food court. You enjoyed looking in the windows and seeing people and whatnot. It's not the same anymore. Amazon and Shopify have totally butchered up the malls. The malls are reinventing themselves, rethinking themselves, trying to survive. And in the meantime, Shopify goes from $12 a share to $1,557, currently ranked number 35 overall. I got nervous earlier this year when the interest rates started going up. And, you know, you look at a stock like Shopify with a P.E. of 223, and you say, wow, that thing's right in the crosshairs. And it did. It got hit pretty hard. It went down 35%. Then it went sideways, and now it's moving back, and it's hitting new highs. How about Spotify? Okay, they come along with a new model, right? Spotify, a little different from Sirius Satellite and XM. Spotify is currently ranked number 4,107 overall. they're having a little trouble with consistent profitability in their subscription model. Spotify did beat by 22 cents, however. Okay, here's another one. Here's one that might surprise you. ADP, Automatic Data Processing, been around for a long, long time. It's currently ranked at number 291 overall. And I got to believe with workers coming back after the pandemic, helping them. Here's one more. Okay, Thermo Fisher, TMO. Number 62 overall. You might want to have a look there at Thermo Fisher. Now, when we come back, the big ones from yesterday, Microsoft, Alphabet, the company formerly known as Google, Apple, and AMD. We'll go through four of the most important stocks in the entire market when we come back. Big Tech. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, two ways to make your investment life easier. If you're a dyed-in-the-wool do-it-yourselfer, well, you know, I offer my BestStocksNowApp.com. I can't tell you how much those rankings help me as a professional investor. It's a big ocean out there, and trying to narrow it down to the best is difficult. And I think it has to be a combination of value and momentum. I think value alone has its drawbacks. There's too many value traps out there. And momentum alone ignores value, which I think is risky business. So I like to combine the two of them. So my BestStocksNowApp.com, I have my newsletter that I send out every week. If you'd like to sample it, I give 2 free weeks to everybody. It has what I own, my portfolios, and the most important part of the newsletter is the macro outlook. I'm a guy who's been right about the market for the last 13 years. I'm a market timer. I do believe in not being invested when a recession hits and we go into an earnings decline for the S&P 500. But we have not seen that other than the COVID year, which is an extraordinary event. For the last 13 years, it's out there on the horizon somewhere. We always have to have our radar, our LIDAR out there, I guess, looking for that. That macro portion of the newsletter is invaluable of how to set your overall tone of investments at any given point in time. I do, most of my time is spent managing money for other people who don't want to mess with it. It's time-consuming. You're talking to a guy, or you're listening to a guy who does it 10 hours a day, every day. And I work usually Saturday mornings. I put together the newsletter, but I'm managing money 60 to 70% of the time. And it's very, very time-consuming. And it helps to have somebody who's been through some bear markets, who tries to take the emotion out of the picture, and who has seen, you know, many, many pullbacks over the last 13 years and said, you know what, you got to stay in there. This is just a little secondary reaction in an overall primary bull market uptrend. So there's no substitute for experience in the market. There's no guarantees either, but I'm very dedicated to my profession and what I do. If you would like to talk to us about money management, fee-based money management, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. Okay, here comes the lightning round, I guess, as Jim Cramer would say. Visa, excellent stock, ranked number 92 overall, one of the great IPOs of all time, unheralded. You wouldn't think it, but yes, Visa, V, excellent. Microsoft, one of the FANG stocks. If you expand FANG to put an M in there, is currently ranked at number 198 overall. Excellent, excellent. Growth and income pays a good dividend. We own Microsoft in our large cap accounts. Microsoft, how's it reacting to its earnings? I think it's turned around to the upside now. Yeah, that's a good chart. That's an excellent chart. It's up 1.1%. What about Google? Or Alphabet, the stock formerly known as Google. Alphabet's ranked number 5 overall. I have a lot of people, don't buy Google. I don't like Google. I don't like their politics. Well, Google's ranked number 5 out of 5,800. You know what a powerful advertising, it's never been done before. Zeroing in on those demographics, whether you like it or not. You know, they know your habits. They know what you like. They know what time of day you're in a buying. They know so much. Powerful, powerful platform. Too powerful, yes. Number 5 rank overall. You do with it what you will. Apple, which is pulling back. You know, Apple's problem is parts. They're having a hard time getting parts. Chips. It's the chip shortage. Apple knocked the ball out of the park with their iPhone sales. Apple currently ranked number 53 overall. You know, might be a good buy on this pullback here, but their big problem right now is getting the parts, the chips that go inside those iPhones that drive them. And last but not least, one that we also own here, we have written about it recently. We write for Seeking Alpha every week. Look up Bill Gunderson. And you can look up our current ranking of the 8,500 people or so that they track on Seeking Alpha. They rank us on performance. And tipranks.com. Last time I looked, last week, we were ranked at number 320 or something like that out of 8,500. So their ranking system has us ranked very high. No guarantees going forward, but we're very proud to be in the top 4% of all of the people, the folks. In fact, I have a webinar today to attend of all of the premium authors. I'm one of the 200 premium authors chosen by Seeking Alpha to offer a premium service. AMD is one of the most recent articles we've written about. It's ranked number 83 overall, and I think AMD is turning the corner. It was down, up, down. Now it's surging. Up 4.5% overall, ranked at number 83. Where can you find these rankings? Well, we give you 500 free to look at beststocksnowapp.com. And then if you want to subscribe to the entire database, which is updated every single day, the sectors of the market, the mutual funds, the ETFs, the individual stocks, microcaps, large caps, inverse ETFs, foreign stocks, they're all in there. They're ranked on a relative basis, one against another, and it's built on valuation and momentum and a safety, a bit of safety thrown in for good measure. I think that's important. Those rankings help me separate the wheat from the chaff. I move very quickly through the markets on a daily basis to get to those very, very best momentum or rankings or stocks moving up in rank, stocks that I hold. Those are the charts I look at every day. I move very quickly throughout the day. It's in a very intense process. I close my door. I turn my phone down. I don't try not to look at the email. Do you want to do it yourself? Be my guest. Get the newsletter, get the database. You want to have a fee-based manager that charges a fair fee to manage it for you and take that worry off of you, give us a call at 855-611-BEST or get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.